This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Fake news travels fast. Even the most outrageous stories seem somehow more believable and clickable when passed along or posted by someone you know and trust. And the results can be devastating, as evidenced by yesterday's shooting at a Washington, D.C. pizzeria, which was targeted by a man with an assault rifle investigating a fake news story about a child sex ring supposedly run by Hillary Clinton and her campaign chief. After the election, Melissa Zimdars, assistant professor of communication and media at Merrimack College, started compiling a Google Doc of news sites that weren't trustworthy. She posted the list on Facebook, and it quickly went viral and kicked up a storm and attacks against her and became a source for accusations against Facebook and Google. Melissa Zimdars, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
Well, who knew? Did you have any idea what you were starting here?
I had absolutely no idea. I thought it would be a useful teaching resource for my class and that some other educators or librarians could use it who I'm friends with on Facebook, but I never anticipated something like this spreading so widely.
Where do your students get their news?
Most of them get their news from Facebook. So we've talked throughout the semester about this, and that's their primary way of getting information. None of them read newspapers or, they might click through to them, but they don't watch the nightly news. They don't really turn to any traditional sources of journalism.
You started this list with about 130 sites that you called untrustworthy. Now it's become a larger collaboration, many more sites added. But how do you define untrustworthy?
So it's not that they're all untrustworthy. So part of it was helping my students navigate between different kinds of websites, whether completely fake, sometimes false or misleading, even generally trustworthy sites, but that rely on clickbait headlines, which can spread sensational bits of information, or even satirical news sources that some people don't realize is satirical and they circulate it as actual news.
So did you discover any kind of patterns about what kinds of things get people to click on them?
I feel like it tends to be very sensational pieces. So ones that people read and immediately have sort of an affective and emotional response to them. And that's precisely why even a lot of mainstream journalists, like the New York Times has been accused at times of using clickbait, or the Boston Globe and lots of other sources. And I understand why, because they're in a very competitive market. So I think that's the thing, like the ones that use really exaggerated language, like so-and-so will destroy this other person, or wow, you won't believe it. That kind of stuff piques the interest and gets people to click.
Right. You do also provide a guide for helping news consumers, discover and understand fake news. But what I found really interesting here was this is not just very fringy stuff that's put up to absolutely shock, but a number of sites disguised as legitimate news sites.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of them, the problem isn't that they're not relaying important information, but rather that opinion or other kinds of misleading information are packaged as fact. So when it appears to be straight reporting, and yet it's either secondary reporting that can get diluted just like a game of telephone, or it's decontextualized in order to make a point, that's the kind of stuff that I'm also concerned with, in addition to just outright fake news.
After the election, the fake news site 70news.com published a story claiming, falsely, that Trump had actually won the popular vote, not Hillary Clinton. Now, because so many people saw it, it appeared prominently in Google search results for final election results. Now, so it speaks to a couple of different things. First, that the news was out there, but how it spreads. How did Google and Facebook, for example, benefit from this kind of fake news?
So Google obviously benefits in terms of advertising revenue, as does Facebook. And so that's one of the things they're both altering, even impacting their own revenue stream to potentially stymie the circulation of false information. And I think something like that spread very quickly because it spoke to a population that really wanted that to be true, right? And I think that's the point with a lot of fake news. Regardless of whether people perceive it to be fake or not, they potentially want it to be true, right? And that matters more than its actual veracity.
Do we know who's behind 70news.wordpress.com, for example?
I don't know who's behind that one yet, but I was digging a little bit because they wrote a false piece about me and the resource, actually, after being listed on it. But I haven't really been able to find much information about the writer.
Well, I've seen plenty of things about you, lists or articles, you know, calling you a leftist. One, a feminist professor who specialized in fat studies. I'm guessing that's women's studies. That list went viral, and it was faked. Your list was faked. People added or subtracted whatever they chose.
Yes, and claims about my personal politics, like some of it's true, some of it saying I'm a communist, I'm whatever. I'm like, I have no idea where they're getting this from. But part of the reason I put sites across the political spectrum on my resource is because my students wouldn't be receptive to something that was only conservative or only liberal. And this is a problem to me that expands the political spectrum. And it's something we should all be concerned about, regardless of our own political orientation.
Melissa Zimdar, she's assistant professor of communication and media at Merrimack College. It was she who started compiling a list of news sites that didn't seem trustworthy that went hyper, hyper viral online. Melissa, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.